The following message is brought to you by Baltimore Bible Church. For more information about this ministry, please visit us online at www.baltimorebiblechurch.org. So let's now open our Bibles and follow along as we loose the scriptures and let them speak.
It's my privilege to introduce our speaker for this morning, Kirby Myers. He has been married to his wife, Sally, for 20 years. And they have three children, Jonathan, 13, Matthew, 11, and Andre, 8. He is the Fellowship of Christian Athletes Campus Director at the Naval Academy in Annapolis, and also a friend of Drexel King. I'm sure many of you remember Drexel and his family. Prior to his current role at the Naval Academy, he was pastoring a church in Indiana, which I believe that's in the United States, right? Indiana? Okay, just check. For 12 years, and he had actually planted that church and was able to faithfully shepherd there for 12 years before transitioning to his current role. He is a fellow graduate of the Master's Seminary, where Pastor George and myself graduated from. I also learned this from off the FCA website that your favorite verse is Romans chapter 5, verse 8, which I'm sure all of you are familiar with. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And Kirby said this about that verse: I love in Scripture where we can find the gospel in one single verse. The gospel is a demonstration of the love of God. Though we have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die the death that we deserved. Christ did not die for us when we had it all together. He died for us when we were helpless and hopeless sinners. And he went on to say, this is good news, and this is the message that I will be taking to the athletes and coaches and all whom they influence at the United States Naval Academy through the ministry of FCA. And brother, we are thankful for your ministry at the Naval Academy and encourage you all to be praying for him as he serves down there, has many opportunities for the gospel with others who will have roles of influence in our country. And we look forward to your ministry to us today. Please come and preach the word to us, brother.
Well, good morning. It's an honor for me to be here this morning. George called me a couple weeks ago and said, Kirby, I'm going out of town, out of country, right? And he said, we're desperate. We need someone to fill the pulpit. We'll even take you. And so I was like, yeah, I'll be there. So no, I'm really grateful to be with you all this morning. If you would turn your Bibles to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're going to look at this entire chapter this morning, all 176 verses. I asked the guys in the back, are these four-hour batteries in my mic? No, I'm joking. We're going to look at just one stanza, eight verses, verses 9 through 16. Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. And let me read that for us this morning. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. We come to the longest of the 150 Psalms. We come to the longest chapter in the Bible. It contains 176 verses, and this psalm is actually longer than some of the books in the Bible that we have, including Jonah, Haggai, Philemon, 2nd and 3rd John, and Jude. Psalm 119 has been called the Mount Everest of the Psalter, yet its human author is unknown. though some have reasonably suggested it was written by David, Daniel, or Ezra. Psalm 119 is a psalm about the Word of God. It joins Psalm 1 and Psalm 19, which was read earlier, as psalms that exalt the Word of God. It is an acrostic psalm. The psalm structure observes a strict acrostic pattern. As you look here, there are 22 stanzas of 8 verses each, and that follows the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet in sequence. And so within a stanza in the Hebrew, the first word of each verse begins with the same letter, the letter to which the entire stanza corresponds. Now, some of you in your Bibles will have the names of the Hebrew letters there above each stanza. Some of you even have the letters themselves from the Hebrew alphabet there in your Bibles. That's a great way to learn the Hebrew alphabet, impress your friends that you know some Hebrew, okay? And in this great psalm, there are eight different terms that are used throughout the psalm that refer to the Word of God. The word law, testimonies, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, word, and ordinances. We all need to know God's Word. Amen? Young and old alike. We never come to a point where we close the Bible and go, I got it. I know it all, right? We come back to it. We need to learn it. We need to relearn it. We need to apply it to our lives. And so today, as the one who is here preaching for you, the best thing I can do for you, and the thing that I tried to do for 12 years as a pastor in Indiana, which is a flyover state, I understand that, but the best thing that I can do for you, the best thing I can do for the midshipmen who are part of our ministry at the Naval Academy, is to get the Word of God into their hearts. Because God will use His Word to shape them and conform them to the image of Jesus Christ. So it's not about stories or jokes or skits. It's about teaching and preaching the Word of God. The Christian life can be really, really tough. Because there are all kinds of pressures, temptations. There are all kinds of things that are seeking our time and our attention. I have three boys, and over the summer, we got each of them a Kindle Fire. There was a great sale on Amazon, and so we bought each of them a Fire, and we gave them to them on their birthdays. And I kind of got out of control a little bit, and we didn't really put parameters on how often they could use their Kindle Fires recently. And so I told them last night, I said, we need to take a break. You're going to turn in your Kindles for a little bit. We're just going to take a break from this, because it's so easy to get our attention away from Christ and away from God's Word. And they handled it really well, by the way. It was nice. Because the world would love to pull us in and have us embrace its system. The devil would love to destroy your character and your witness for Jesus Christ. And your flesh and my flesh would love to get all of our focus and attention on ourselves rather than on God. So how then can you live a pure and holy life? How can you live a life that would be pleasing to God, a life that would honor and glorify Him? I'm going to let you in on a secret this morning, okay? It is impossible apart from the Word of God. It is impossible to live a pure and holy life apart from God's Word. You can imitate and mimic other Christians only for so long. But when hard times come, you will crash and burn. That is why Paul said in Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of God. And I believe that you all want to live a godly life. That's why you're here this morning on the Lord's Day. That's why you're a part of a solid church like Baltimore Bible Church. You are here. I believe you are here because you want to be here. You want to grow. You want to live lives that are acceptable unto God. And so today, I want to really give you an application of what you have heard over the last 2 weeks as George has preached to you about canon, about the canon of Scripture. This is a very practical application to the Word of God. I want to help you and give you 8 ways here to live a pure and holy life. All of them are based on the Word of God. All of them are derived from these 8 verses found in Psalm 119. And I want to give them to you in the form of a vow. A vow that you would make, a vow that should take place between you and God. So number one, say to the Lord, I will plant myself in the Word of God. I will plant myself in the Word of God. Verse 9, the psalmist says, how can a young man or a woman keep his way pure? And he gives the answer, by keeping it according to your word. You cannot live a pure and holy life apart from the knowledge of God's word. There is no other way of knowing what is right and what is wrong. The word of God reveals the will of God, and you have to plant yourself into God's word if you want to grow, if you want to live a holy life. My mom just turned 81 years old. I've known her all my life. Some of you will get that later at lunch. And my mom loves roses. And my dad is now 82, and his health is declining. But every year, my dad would drive to this store called Big R. I mean, that just kind of shows we're Hicktown, right? A place called Big R, and he would buy flowers for my mom. And he would bring them home, and he didn't just take them and throw them on the counter and go, I love you, honey. But he loved her enough to take those flowers. He would go outside, he would dig, he would plant them in the ground, and those flowers would not grow unless he planted them, right? And in the same way, you will not grow apart from God's word. You and I need to place ourselves in God's word and do so on a daily basis. We need to understand and agree together that growth and holiness will not come apart from spending time in God's word. Now, I just know a few of you. I met some of you for the first time this morning. Many of you I've never met. But I think I can say this with some authority that there are probably some of you here this morning who are not currently planted in God's word. And if you were to be honest before God, you can't remember the last time, apart from a church service or a small group Bible study, where you actually sat down to open and read and study the Word of God. How do I know that? God didn't tell me audibly. I know that because I have been there. And you probably have been there as well. I remember in high school and college, I remember coming home from church. And the first thing I wanted to do was change my clothes. It was time to watch pro football or go out and play. And so I'd come home and change my clothes. And I would take my Bible and I would set it on this bookcase in our house. And then I would go throughout my day. And I remember sometime, like a week later, Sunday morning, time for church. And I would be looking for my Bible. Where's my Bible? Guess where it was? On the bookcase where I had placed it the Sunday before. That's not healthy. When I was living in Illinois, there was a young man, a football player at University of Illinois, who came to know Christ, and I was taking him to speak at an event at a high school, and he had this Bible that someone had given to him, and someone had written in his Bible, and I said, Eric, what does that say there? And he read it to me. Someone had written this in his Bible that said, sin will keep me from this book, or this book will keep me from sin. It's like, wow. And we all need to ask ourselves the question, which will it be for me? And I would encourage you, if you're not planted, to plant yourself in the Word of God and to do it today while today is called today. Number two, to go with that, say to the Lord, I will keep myself in the Word of God. We don't just plant ourselves, but we are to stay there. And the psalmist says in verse 10, with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. So glad we sang that song this morning, Come Thou Fount, right? The psalmist says, do not let me wander. It is so easy to do. It's so easy to get away from reading, studying, meditating on the Word of God. And here in my notes, the words from Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. Friends, when you wander from the Word of God, that is going to lead you to an impure and unholy life. The psalmist here says also, do not let me wander from your commandments, not from your options or suggestions. These are the commandments of a holy God, what God desires and requires from us. You cannot seek God apart from his word. Many have tried. I have tried, and we have all failed. Wander, that is exactly what we will do when we get away from his holy word. I've never tried this, but I've read about this before, and I trust the people who have written this. I don't want to go find out for myself, but I've been told that if you are walking in a desert and there is no point of reference, you will eventually do a complete circle because you have nothing. You don't have a compass. You don't have anything to guide you. And most likely, none of us here have a photographic memory. Therefore, we need to stay in God's word all the way up to our death. And so in your vow to the Lord to plant yourself in the word and to keep yourself there, really make a commitment to be in the word daily. If you're not reading the Bible, you're not currently studying the Bible, maybe you say, you know what, for the next 21 days, that's what I'm going to do. Some people say that's a great way to establish a habit, or I'm going to read through the Bible in a year, or I'm going to take just like a little tool, like Our Daily Bread. I'm going to read that daily. Now, don't read ahead, okay? You can get one that's like May, June, and July. Don't sit down and read the whole thing and go, hey, I'm done. 3 months, all right? That's supposed to be a daily bread, okay? But plant yourself in the Word of God and keep yourself there. Stay in the Word of God. So many of our young people say, you know what? I just don't feel like reading God's Word. That's the time to get in it. To get yourself in there and let God meet you and reveal your need of his holiness in your life. Number three, say to the Lord, I will memorize the word of God. I will memorize the word of God. Verse 11, very familiar words here. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. How many of you have ever memorized this verse in your life? Okay. It's always a part of a scripture memory plan. The psalmist says here, I have treasured it in my heart. I have learned it. I have hid it in my heart. Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 and 8 and 9 says this, these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontals on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Friends, learn the word of God. Memorize it. Have it in your heart and in your mind so that even if you're not physically carrying a Bible with you, that it's there. Why should we do that? What is the point of memorizing scripture? Once Awana is over or something like that, what is the purpose if I don't get a badge anymore or I can't move up? The point is what he says here, that I may not sin against you. And I'm not here to push any one scripture memorization program. It looks like you have something going down here very well of going through a verse every week and answering these questions. But whether it's Awana or something from Word of Life or Navigators, there are different ways of memorizing scripture. Maybe you write it on a card and carry it around with you during the day. I see people do that. My wife does that. I see people who put it on a mirror. You're there a lot during the day, in the mornings, getting ready for your day, and so you see it over and over. I had a friend in California who had scripture. He put it on his steering wheel. I encouraged him to look up every once in a while as he was on the 5 freeway, okay? I see some put it on their computer, like right there before them, something to help them remember. And so you read it over and over again. And I always tell people to be more concerned with the spirit of the verse rather than the letter. I can tell you that 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. I may have missed a couple words in there, but I know what that verse says. And that's what it means to memorize it and hide it in your heart. In Psalm 19, which was read earlier, a psalm of David about the word of God, in verse 11, David says, moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. So plant yourself in the word of God. Keep yourself in the word of God. Memorize the word of God. Fourthly, say to the Lord, I will learn the word of God. I will learn the word of God. Verse 12, the psalmist says, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. This is a phenomenal psalm. You guys know that. Whether it was written by David or Ezra or Daniel or someone else. This writer has a deep knowledge of the Word of God. But you know what I love about it? What I love about him? He wants to continue learning. He is teachable. He is satisfied in God alone, but he's not content to remain where he is. He is constantly growing. You can never exhaust God's word. So be a learner. Be teachable. Buy a Bible commentary or a Bible dictionary to gain even greater understanding. Purchase the ESV Study Bible. That source alone is just full of so much information. Or use a concordance to do a study on a Hebrew word in the Old Testament or a Greek word in the New Testament. Don't get complacent. The church I grew up in, I went away to college and I came back. I was able to come back on staff at the church, and my pastor gave me an opportunity to preach several times. And here's a pastor who had served as a pastor for over 30 years. And when I would get up to preach, I was young, 23, 24 years old. He would sit in the front row and he would take notes on me. What a blessing that was. Here's a guy who I would preach on passages that he had probably preached numerous times, but he would sit there and be teachable and say, you know what, I can learn even from Kirby Myers. That's the way we need to be. And I preached some awful sermons. But he still wanted to learn. So be a learner. Have a teachable spirit. Never have an attitude that says, I already know this. Number five, say to the Lord, I will testify of the word of God. I will testify of the word of God. Verse 13, the psalmist says, with my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. Friends, let the word of God always be on your lips. Tell others what you are learning. Tell others what you have read. My wife is so good at this, about being excited about God's word, what she has learned from her time of study, and she shares it with me and she shares it with others. And that is infectious. I remember we went to Hawaii a few years ago for our 10th anniversary, and she brought her journal. We had a long flight, and so she wanted to share with me some of the things she had been learning, and it was such an encouragement to have this from a godly wife. In Acts chapter 4, we read about Peter and John and how they were commanded to no longer speak or teach in the name of Jesus. And this was their response. Verses 19 and 20. Peter and John answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God, you be the judge. For we cannot stop speaking about what we have seen and heard. May that be true of us, that we cannot help ourselves. Not about talking about the Cavs game or the Spurs game, but what we have read and studied in the Word of God. And I like to say this, that when it is in your heart, it will be on your lips. But if it's not in your heart, it will never make it to your mouth. Number six, say to the Lord, I will rejoice in the Word of God. I will rejoice in the word of God. The psalmist says in verse 14, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. David said in Psalm 19, verse 10, they are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. David was a king, yet his greatest possession was the word of God. Ask yourself that question this morning. Is the word of God your greatest possession? If your house was on fire, if you went home today, your house or apartment was on fire, and you were met by a Baltimore firefighter or wherever you live, out on the curb, out on the sidewalk, and he said to you, you've got 1 minute to go into your house, into your apartment, and get one item, what would you want to get? You're like, well, Kirby, I've got my Bible with me. Don't you know anything? No, okay, just play along with me for a minute, all right? What would you want to get out of your home? When Sally and I were living in Los Angeles, we had been there, I think, about a year. And we had some friends that were coming out to San Diego, friends that I knew from Illinois with Fellowship of Christian Athletes. They were coming out for a retreat conference kind of thing. And so we went down to meet them in San Diego, and we were going to stay. My brother worked for Marriott, so we got a great discount through him. And there were two hotel buildings that were part of the Marriott downtown San Diego. And we're checking in, and the man says to me, "Hey, do you want a low floor or a high floor?" And I was like, "A high floor? I want a great view of the bay. We're in San Diego." We were out of L.A. And I remember Sally saying to me, "Kirby, what if there's an earthquake?" And I was like, "There's not going to be an earthquake. It's California. Why would you say that?" So anyway, we got a high floor, right? We were like on the 21st floor. And we went to bed about midnight, 3 in the morning. Sally wakes me up. She's like, "Kirby, we're having an earthquake," you know? And I'm so disoriented. I think we're back in our apartment back in Montrose, California. And she's like, she's read all the stuff about what to do in an earthquake, you know? So she's like prepared, and she's telling me, "We got to get out of here." And I'm like, "Okay." And I'm trying to find my shoes. And it's not until she opens the hotel door that I realize, oh, yeah, we're not in our apartment. We're in San Diego. We're in the Marriott. And so we're on the 21st floor. The elevators are out. So we have to walk all the way down to the ground floor. And we're outside and standing there with all these people. I got reacquainted with some of my friends. We met up with them out there. People are checking out of the hotel at 3 in the morning. Like, how do you outrun an earthquake? I didn't understand where people thought they could go. But people are leaving the hotel. And we're standing out there kind of waiting until it's okay to go back in. And by the way, that earthquake, it lasted for 45 seconds. But our room, our hotel shook for 5 minutes. It was unbelievable. And so we're outside, and the hotel manager first comes out, and he says, "It was a 7.0 in Los Angeles." And I'm thinking about our little apartment back in L.A., and I thought, we probably lost everything, right? We just bought this new dresser, like a low-boy, high-boy dresser, and I thought, oh, that thing had to come crashing down. And I was starting to grieve, you know? I was starting to think about my possessions and some of the things that we had in our apartment. And honestly, I was sad. And we stood there probably for 30 minutes, and I was just thinking through those things. But then God was just so good in that moment. At about 3:30 in the morning, I looked at Sally and I said, "Sally, we've got our Toyota Corolla, and I've got my MacArthur Study Bible. What else do we need? Let's go." And it was this great time of joy. It was like this reminder of I had everything I needed. I had a wife. I had the Word of God. I had a car that could transport me to go take the gospel to the lost. Well, we got home, everything was fine. It was in Joshua Tree National Forest. I was glad everything was okay, but it was a great moment for us as a couple. The psalmist here says, "Rejoice, I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies." I would encourage you today to rejoice in the Word of God and rejoice as much as in all riches. Rejoice that you can possess the Word of God. How many Bibles do you have in your home? I probably have 50 in my office. Rejoice that we can learn it, that we can know it, and that we can make it known. Amen? Number 7, say to the Lord, "I will meditate on the Word of God." I will meditate on the Word of God. The psalmist says in verse 15, "I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways." This is the Word of God. It is God's love letter to man. He has given us his word simply because he loves us. When my wife and I were dating, we would actually write each other letters. This was pre-Al Gore. This is before the internet was invented and before text messaging. And so we wrote each other letters. We'd actually write on paper. I would go down to the mailbox and put it in there, and it would be delivered to her home. It's an amazing thing. And Sally would write me back, and I would receive a letter from her. I would read it. I would read it again. I had strong feelings for her. It took her a while to get where I was. And so I would read her response. I would give her my heart and tell her, "This is how I feel about you." And she would write me back, and I would read this letter over and over, and I would go, "What is it saying? What is she saying?" Right? And that's what the psalmist is saying here. He is saying, "I will regard your ways. I will contemplate. I will look into your word." It's deep. So we read the word and we say, what is God saying to us? How would he want me to respond? And beloved, the good news is, women cannot always be understood, but God's word can always be understood because he has given us his Holy Spirit. We are not left alone. My wife's not here. I'm going to be okay. First, please do. Please do. She's heard this one before. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 says this, as for you, the anointing which you receive from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. This is called the illumination of the Holy Spirit. He gives us understanding as we read, and he applies it to our hearts. So here I would encourage you, don't just read the word and say, okay, I put in my 10 or 15 minutes today. You read the word, you don't walk away, but you read it, you meditate on it. And if there's something that's hard to understand, you come back to it again and say, Lord, what is it that you are trying to say? How do I apply this to my life? Number 8, finally, say to the Lord, I will delight in the word of God. I will delight in the word of God. Verse 16, the psalmist says, I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. Friends, especially young people here today, I just want to tell you as a 46-year-old man, there is nothing better than knowing Christ. Amen. There is nothing better than obeying Christ. There is nothing better than delighting in the word of God. Psalm 19:11, David says there, in keeping them, there is great reward. And I grew up in Indiana. I grew up in an independent, fundamental, King James only, separatist, soul-winning bus ministry church. And those were the things that were just on the sign outside. Not joking. Again, before the internet, you drove by this church and you knew exactly what that church believed. It was amazing. And there was a mentality in that church growing up. I'm very thankful because that's where I heard the gospel and I believed and I was saved. But it was a very legalistic church, and there was a mentality there of this. Are you going to be happy, or are you going to be holy? As if they were mutually exclusive. It's almost like the teaching was there, was like, come to Christ and be miserable, okay? But the truth is this. You will be happy when you live a holy life that is pleasing and acceptable to a holy God. The psalmist says, I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. He does not wander from them. He knows how valuable they are to him. Later on in the psalmist says in verse 93, I will never forget your precepts, for by them you have revived me. So let me conclude with this. Do you want to live a pure and holy life? Do you want to live a life that is pleasing to God? These verses tell you how you can do it. And I want to just conclude briefly with a sports analogy. That's what I do for a living. I minister to coaches and athletes. And so I want to give you this analogy to just kind of help bring this home for you. Number one, where I said plant yourself in God's word, here I like to say get in the game. Get in the game. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not in God's word. Today would be a great day to start, to get in the word of God. Number two, where I said keep yourself in God's word, there I like to say stay in the game. If you've seen the movie Rudy, Rudy works so hard to make it onto the football squad at Notre Dame, and he finally gets into the final game of the season, and he goes in for a play, and then it changes, and so he's now on defense, and he looks over to the stands, to the coaches, and he says, what do you want me to do? And the coach says, stay in there. Stay in there. And I would encourage you to stay in the word of God. Don't just plant yourself in there, but stay there. Get in a habit of reading and studying the word daily. Thirdly, where I said memorize the word of God, here I like to say know the rules. What hath God said? What is acceptable to God? What are those things that are displeasing to him? Several years ago, when Donovan McNabb was the quarterback for the Philadelphia Eagles, and overtime is a little bit different in the NFL now, but back then, whoever scored first, the game was over. And so Donovan McNabb, as the quarterback for the Eagles, whoever they were playing, scored in overtime first. He didn't know that's how the game ended. And I remember watching his post-game press conference. He was in total shock that the game was over. We have to know the rules. We have to know what God has said, what is pleasing to him. Fourthly, in your vow where you say, where I say, learn the word of God, here I like to say, study the game plan. Study the game plan. I come from Indiana. Our team there is the Colts. I think they used to be around here at one time. But we had a quarterback named Peyton Manning for several years. And Peyton Manning was so successful because he was always studying the game plan. That's what he did. He was obsessed with knowing the game plan for the Indianapolis Colts. So learn the word of God. Study it. Number five, in your vow where you are going to testify of the word of God, here I like to say, let's hear some chatter. I've coached Little League baseball many years, and I would always tell those kids, hey, let me hear you out there. Let's talk it up. Let's hear you. And let's talk about the word of God. Share with one another what you are learning, how God is blessing you, what he is teaching you in his word. Number six, rejoice in God's word. I like to say here, be glad you're in the game. Be glad you're in the game. Be glad that you can be considered and call yourself a Christian, a follower of Christ, a little Christ. Be glad that you are in the game, that your sins are forgiven, you're bound for heaven, the best is yet to come. Number seven, when we talk about meditating on God's word, here I like to say break down tape, contemplate, look into. Curt Schilling used to be a great pitcher for the Boston Red Sox and some other teams. And one thing that made Curt Schilling such a great pitcher was this, and I'm sure many do it now, but he would watch videotape of every batter that he would possibly face. So if he was going to New York City for a four-game series with the Yankees, he would watch video of every batter that might possibly come to the plate. And he knew where to pitch them and where not to pitch them. That's what it means to look into, to contemplate, to meditate on the Word of God. And then finally, where I say delight in God's word, I would just say this, love the game. Love the Christian life. Again, there is nothing greater, there is nothing better than knowing Christ. The world, the flesh, the devil will offer you things that will only leave you empty. God's word alone will satisfy your soul. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time we could spend in your word. Thank you for such a great psalm. Lord, I'm kind of glad we don't know the author because you get all the glory. We look at this incredible psalm, 176 verses that exalts the word of God over and over again. And Lord, when we read it, when we study it, we exalt you, for you are worthy. You are deserving of all of our praise and adoration. Lord, help us to be men and women who love your word, who live according to your word, who study it, who make it a part of our daily lives, that we would see the need to come daily, to sit at your feet, to read your word, and know that you will make our path straight. So, Lord, I pray for anyone here that has strayed from the times in your word, that today, Lord, you'd give them a greater love, a new, refreshed love for your word. For us that are consistent, Lord, help us to keep going, to stay in the game, to continue to read, to meditate, to memorize, to rejoice in your word. Thank you for this church, and thank you for the promise that you give us, that your word will go forth, and it will accomplish, Lord, whatever you desire. So, Lord, find a place in each of our hearts for your word, and may you use it to conform us into the image of Christ. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
To hear other messages or to find out about upcoming events or where we meet for weekly church services, please visit us online at www.baltimorebiblechurch.org. Baltimore Bible Church reserve all copyright protection under applicable law. Our copyright policy is available on our website and includes instructions for and limitations on duplicating CDs and all digital files.